God. Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us, and I believe that it is not in vain that we gather. And we are picking up our teaching from where we were looking at spiritual gifts, and we were looking from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we looked at the first aspect of it, which is looking at the diversities. And this we read from verse 4, which says that now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of the same gift, of diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12, which I'll stop for today. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Yeah, so we started exploring spiritual gifts, and remember, this was a response to the question of the Corinthian church. They wrote to Paul and they wanted some answers with regards to spiritual gifts, and this was one of the questions. And that's why at the beginning of the chapter it starts with the question, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So Paul did not desire them to be ignorant, but he wanted them to have understanding of spiritual gifts. Remember, this church was still growing. It was still not mature yet, but they were gifted and they had so many spiritual gifts operating in them. And Paul purposed that they should not be ignorant, and that is why he was giving them instruction concerning spiritual gifts. So one of the things that we see is that he speaks of diversities, and this is what we looked at yesterday, or the previous teaching on this, in that the diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit is unique in that he chooses to gift every individual in a special way, okay? So they, even if there are two people who have the gift of speaking in tongues or the gift of healing, they will not be the same because there is diversities of gifts. So and what we see is that for everyone, to everyone is given, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, I think that's one key area that I will want us to focus on. But just to quickly summarize what we looked at, we say that at the level of the gift, everyone is given a gift, and this is by the Spirit of God. But then it is not everyone that puts it into administration or into service. That's why it says there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That means that those who recognize that Jesus Christ as their Lord, in spite of their gifts, are those who are able to put it in service. So when the day that you recognize that this gift came from the Spirit of God, maybe it's a gift of singing, it came from the Spirit of God, then you decide to put it into service, then those that put it into service are those who recognize that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and he controls and he determines that he needs to be served. That's why it says there are differences in service, in administration. And then it also says there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, this speaks to me is that this, I will consider it's a third level. I will consider the first level is the level of where you're gifted, in which you do nothing about it, and it is just the gift and the grace of God. And then the second level is where you put your gift to work, and there are those who put their gift into service, either for wickedness or for the devil or for their own benefit. But them that put their gift for the Lord, they recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and serve him, they grow into a level of service. But then the third people are those who have grown to the point where now God starts to operate in them and God starts to work in them. They have been serving God, they have been out of their will, they have been serving, but then it gets to a point where they submit themselves and God now starts to work in their lives, and it becomes a massive operation. It becomes a working, it becomes, you know, God now going through them and giving them that diversity. But one of the key things that I wanted us to sit on a bit is the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And you see, when we look at gifts, the word there, it says the manifestation. That means that spiritual gifts and the gifts that we are given are manifestations. And I think the word there is phanerosis. It's like, it is a demonstration or made to see the effect of the Spirit in a person. Okay, so all these gifts that are described are the effect of the Spirit of God on that individual. So when you see that it says that the manifestation, that means that every man, so that means that each and every person, God gifts a spiritual gift. And I believe I consider it like a talent. You can imagine when one is born in the natural, their natural or their special gifts that each person receives when they are born. Likewise, also in the Spirit, there are specific gifts that God gives to every individual. That's why it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So that means that there is no one who cannot say that they are not given a spiritual gift. It's just that they have not recognized it and they have not put it to work. And so when it says it's given to every man to profit with all, that means it is given to every man, that the giftings of the Holy Spirit are not for individual benefit. Yes, there is that place that where you will, God will bless you through it, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. That means that God desires that everybody profits from the gift that God has given you. Now, if God has given you a gift of teaching, it is for the body of Christ. If God has given you a gift of singing, it is for the body of Christ. If God has given you a gift of miracles, it is for the body of Christ. That means that the Holy Spirit determined that there is need for this specific gift in the body, or in that congregation, or in that church, and ensured and felt that the best way that he can bless that congregation or bless that family is to administer this gift to this body. So when this gift is administered, then it is given for the profit of all. It is given for the benefit of all. It is given to help all. Now you see the challenge, you'll find that those who are gifted have turned it into, you know, a merchandise where they use it for their own benefit, they use it for their own business, they profit themselves, but yet they forget that when God has given the manifestation of the Spirit, it is given to every man for the profit of all. So God desires that every gift that he's given us, it is to multiply the kingdom of God. So if you're given a word of wisdom, if you're given wisdom, if you're given knowledge, the end result is that the kingdom of God is multiplied. Remember, when we read in Luke 19 verse 13, it says that when this king left and he left his subjects, he told them, occupy till I come. So that is where we get that verse, occupy till I come. That means that God has put us on the earth and we are given a responsibility to occupy until he comes. That means that if there's a place of influence that God has given you or has placed you in, he expects you to occupy until he comes. And when he came back, he asked, I gave you these 5 talents. What do you have? You have it. So the person with the 5 talents brought another 5. The person with the 2 brought another 2. But the person with the 1, he said that he hid it under the ground and he brought it. And the master was angry and he said, you wicked and lazy servant, didn't you know that at least you will have put my money in the bank, that it will have come out with some profit? You understand? So God is concerned about the profit that comes forth out of the gift that God has given us. So as you can see, that your profiting is important to God. And even Paul tells Timothy, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, that if you do these things, then your profiting will be evident to all. If you continue in preaching, if you continue in teaching, if you continue in daily reading of the word, if you continue to encouraging people, encouraging the saints, you will realize that godliness profits for all things. You understand? They say bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits for all things. So there is a profit that God expects from the manifestation of the Spirit that is given to every man, and this profit is for all. So if your gift is not being used for the body, then you are not utilizing or using the gift that was given to you accordingly. So verse 8 tells us, for to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge. So I want to differentiate these two aspects. Now, the word of wisdom, when we look at wisdom, wisdom is really practical ways of doing things, in that there is a word of wisdom is the knowledge, the know-how of how to do something. Like you could say, for example, you could say that someone who, I mean, like, and we look at the Bible, like James. James, who was the brother of Jesus, he was the head of the church. Now, remember, they had a crisis in the church where the Gentiles were being asked to do, to have circumcision, to do rituals as the Jews for them to be accepted. But then when they sat down after they had talked and presented their case, the Bible says James stood up and said, this is the command we give you, that let no Gentile be subjected to Jewish customs. All they should do is take care of the poor and continue to do good. And by this, it was a word of wisdom that solved a crisis that was in the church. Another example of the word of wisdom is where they had the challenge of waiting on tables, where there was a fight between the Greek widows and the Jewish widows, and the apostles said, let us bring 12 men, seven men full of wisdom who will wait on tables. And that is when those of Philip were appointed, and Stephen. So when we see, word of wisdom is the word that comes to cool a situation. It can, let's say you can be in the middle of an intense meeting. It can be in the middle of intense challenge at the workplace or and in different place. But then God gives you a word of wisdom, just direction to know what to do and how to do it. Now, most leaders, and or rather most effective leaders, God has granted them the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of wisdom. And this word of wisdom is what makes a difference. It is what sets apart people. Because when we look at you as an individual, you are a representation of your wisdom. When you go to a church and you see the arrangement, when you see the building, then you know that wisdom was applied by certain architects or by certain designers or by the owner of the house that demonstrates his wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing, but there is a gift of a word of wisdom that God gives to everyone and to those who he has chosen to give. Now remember, the book of James chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that if any, is it 1 verse 5, it tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives severally unto all without finding fault. And when he asks, let him not doubt, because he that doubts is like a wave that is cast about by the sea. So the word of wisdom, if you do not have it, all you can do, the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And every time you read wisdom, like in the book of Proverbs, wisdom actually speaks of Christ. Christ is wisdom. When he says wisdom beckons in the street, wisdom guides, wisdom speaks to the young man, wisdom is actually used to reference the Christ. Yeah, so the word of wisdom is one of the first gifts that the Spirit gives. The second aspect of the word of knowledge. Now, word of knowledge is a specific revelation that God gives about someone or a situation that was not known by the person. Now, this is a common gifting that is common, especially among prophets. And the prophets will tell you, I mean, when you go to them, then they will know something and they will ask, maybe, who is this? And when you mention this, then they can tell you, okay, this person is, you know, is related to this, and this is the reason that this came about. So the word of knowledge is different from the word of wisdom, because the word of wisdom is a know-how, is a word that comes to cool the situation. It is something that administers grace over a certain issue. But the word of knowledge is a specific revelation that will not have been known by any other way, that God gives you either over someone or over a situation to come. And word of knowledge helps in that it demonstrates, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. Remember, all these are manifestations of the Spirit. So when you go to a church and God gives a word of knowledge, and maybe you're in a service and the pastor says, oh, there's someone in this place who's having a back issue, and the Lord is healing you at this point, then that is a demonstration of the word of knowledge. Because that person at that point, God has revealed to him that there's someone who is having this issue, and by doing that, then the person is brought to healing or brought to breakthrough. Or even like I could give an example of where a couple went for counseling to their pastor, and they wanted to get married. And as they were just about to start the counseling, then the pastor says, well, one of you has a child, and have you discussed it? And then they look at each other and they say, no, we don't have a child. None of us has a child. The lady says, yeah, I don't have a child. And the man says, also, I don't have a child. But then the pastor tells them, okay, you go and discuss it first and come back after you have discussed it, and then we shall continue with the counseling. And so at that point, the pastor had not known anything about this couple, but the Lord revealed it to them through a word of knowledge that one of them had a child. And eventually, after they went and talked and talked and talked, the man eventually confessed that he actually had pregnated a girl, and the girl was pregnant. And so the word of knowledge came to save this lady from entering into a falsified marriage. And so that counseling did not continue, and the marriage did not happen. So the word of knowledge came as a special revelation that that revealed something that was about that situation. So that is a word of knowledge. Now you see, you might have a word of knowledge, but how you react to it is also your choice. Remember Paul, when the prophet Agabus came to him and said, the Spirit says that this person who is the owner of this belt, if he goes into Jerusalem, he's going to be bound into chains. And Paul says, I acknowledge that in every city I go through such kinds of suffering, and I'm ready to be bound and to even die. So in the New Testament, the prophetic or the prophecy comes to confirm what you already know. So the prophet will not tell you something new, but he will confirm what you already know. Maybe before I speak of faith, I will just quickly address to another prophecy. I'm grouping them together because I think it's okay, maybe let me not group them for now at this point. But anyway, prophecy, I'm just linking it to word of knowledge. The prophecy here is, I know people will speak of prophecy as the word of knowledge, where people reveal what you have, but I will say prophecy here is the preaching or the proclaiming of the message or the word of God to people. So when you read their prophecy, think of preaching. Okay, let's go back to verse 9. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles. Now, it is interesting that faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles are classified together, because we consider these three the gifts of power. In that great faith, every one of us, let me just start with the faith by the same Spirit. Every one of us has faith, or rather must have faith. For you to be saved, you must have faith. It is by grace, you have been saved by grace through faith. But you see, when we say that someone has a gift of faith, we find out that this person has faith that is extraordinary beyond us to do exploits. Now, Elijah was a man of great faith. He could speak to the king and said, there shall be no rain except by my word. Now, unless you have great faith, you will not be able to do that. Now, an example of, let's say, someone who also had great faith, you could think of Archbishop Benjamin Idahosa. When he was a young man, I think he was around 21, and he started reading the Bible. And it's the Bible told him that if you lay your hands on the dead will become raised to life. So he asked his pastor, do you believe that this is true? The pastor said, yes, it is true. Then he asked the pastor, have you raised someone to life from the dead? The pastor said, no. But then he asked the pastor, but if the Bible says I can raise the dead, so can I raise the dead? And the pastor said, yes. And then what he did, he said, he started walking and looking for any house with a dead person. He walked until in the evening he found a house where someone had died. I think either it was a child had died. And he told them, can I pray? Because I'm here to raise the dead person. Now you see, that is faith, a gift of faith, that unless God has granted you that gift, you will not just take yourself and go and ask to raise the dead. But you see, when God gives that gift of faith, that is extraordinary faith to do great works. You are not scared of any repercussions. You are not worried about anything. And you just go and speak the word of God. And you just go and express that faith. And you raise the dead, whether it is healing the sick. So the gift of faith is that extra courage that God gives an individual to demonstrate the Spirit of God. And these people are bold, they are evangelists, they are not ashamed of the gospel, and they will declare boldly, and God backs their faith. So that is the gift of faith. So everyone, yes, has faith, But then those with the gift of faith have that strength of faith. Then the other aspect, the gifts of healing. Now it's interesting that it says gifts, not gift of healing. That tells us that even among the healings, there are diversities of the different types of healing. Now you will find that there are those who heal internal issues, there are those who heal eyes, there are those who heal skin issues, there are those who heal specific conditions. So you'll find even among the gifts of healing, not those who operate under the gift of healing operate in the same way. There are those who, where they are preaching, you will be healed. There are those who will lay their hands on you and you will be healed. There are those who will just pray over you or anoint you with oil and you'll be healed. And there are those who maybe God has given them the gifts of healing of maybe only ear conditions or eye conditions, or you know, or issues with the hormones and things like that. So they're, or even just praying for pregnancies, and I mean for those that do not have the fruit of the womb, and that can just be the gift that God gives you for healing. And so it says that God also gives the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Remember, every one of us is called to lay our hands on the sick and the sick shall be made well. So it does not mean that we should not, and that's Mark 16 from verse 16, that in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall heal the sick, so they shall speak in new tongues. So every believer is expected to lay their hands on sick people and heal them. But then we find that there are those who are given the gifts that they do it effortlessly. They do it extra. They have an extra manifestation of healing. And so these are those who God calls and God gives that grace, the gift of healing. And then the third aspect, the other gift of healing that we're seeing is the working of miracles. Now, miracles actually refers to great wonders that defy the laws of nature. So when you find a miracle, it is something that defies the law of nature, in that if you, or rather the law of nature is suspended. You can, for example, if someone is crippled and then you pray for them and they receive their healing, and immediately their legs gain strength, they start to walk, they start to run, you can say this is a miracle. Because it is unexpected, it defies the law of nature, and God gives these workings of miracles and this gift of working of miracles as He chooses to give. And then another aspect that we've said is prophecy, which I said there are two aspects of it. There is speaking into the future, and there's also speaking to people, giving them a direct message from God. So the prophets speak directly to God. They prophesy. They preach the word of God to God's people. And so prophecy is inspiration, is inspired speech by the Lord. And those that have the gift of prophecy are those that God gives that extra grace to declare His word. Remember, all of us are called to preach. The Bible says, when the Spirit is poured out, your young men shall dream dreams, your old men shall, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. On all flesh they shall prophesy. So prophecy is expected of all of us. We are called to preach. We are called to edify the body of Christ. But then there are those that God gives that extra grace to be, that extra gift to be prophets. Then the other gift that we see is that there is another, the discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is basically trying to distinguish whether this message is from God or this message is from the devil. Because many times you can go to a church or you can be seeing a prophet on Facebook, and unless God gives you the discerning of spirits, we are called to discern, then you will not be able to distinguish the spirit behind the message. Because many times people speak, but then there is a spirit behind it. Remember, when we speak of the Antichrist, the Bible says that he shall look like a lamb, but he shall have the voice of a dragon. He shall speak like a dragon. That means that the Antichrist has outwardly will look like a lamb, will look like a sheep, but then the voice speaks like a dragon. That tells you that unless you have the discernment, you will be deceived, because in these last days, the Bible has told us that there shall be many false prophets shall come and they shall deceive many. So the Spirit of God gives us the gifts of discerning of spirits to be able to distinguish between spirits and to distinguish between what is the spirit behind any prophecy or any work that is coming, and so that you can know what is the spirit behind it. And then there's also the diverse kinds of tongues, and this is the two aspects of it. There is the speaking in other tongues, there's also the gift of speaking in many languages. So there are those who can, you will just find they naturally can do seven languages and they can preach in them and that. And then there are those also who, the diversity of tongues, which is speaking in other tongues. Now, we've already done a teaching on speaking in tongues, so I'd ask you to look into it, and also the interpretation of tongues. So speaking in tongues also, and the interpretation of it is also a gift. Now, just to distinguish this, remember, when we say speaking in tongues, God desires, or rather expects, that every believer should be able to speak in tongues. But the one that is a gift is that one that happens in the middle of a service, that, or in the middle of a worship session as a group or something like that, where someone starts to speak in tongues in a special way that we can see and we can expect to be a direct communication from God. Now, when that happens, it is expected that someone should interpret, in that if someone starts speaking in tongues in the middle of the service, and that is just spontaneously, is not just the speaking in tongues, the prayer language where the person is edifying themselves, but he's actually communicating a message to the church through tongues, and people are silent to hear those tongues, then immediately that person finishes communicating that message, then there should be interpretation. Because remember, we said interpretation is not translation. That means you will not get word for word what this person has said, but you're going to get the meaning of the message, and someone will speak up, will rise up and speak in the same congregation and declare, this is what the Lord has communicated to us through these tongues. So just to conclude, the Bible tells us that all these are the work of the same Spirit, and He gives them to each man severally as He wills. So it is the Holy Spirit that determines what kind of gifts that He gives us. But remember, we are all one body, so we are important to one another, and these gifts are given for the profit of the body, for the profit of the church. So whenever you find that God has given you this gift, it does not mean that you isolate yourself, but that you find the place that God has called you to administer that gift. So I think I will stop there, and I pray that God shall give you insight into these things, and even just reflect and meditate on them, and we will also continue there just to reflect on how should we exercise these gifts, and what are the cautions that God expects us in exercising the gifts. Yeah, so I'll stop there for now, and my brother, you're welcome. You're good?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Dr. Manuel. I don't think I will not add anything.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. Let us pray then. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. Thank you for your teaching to us, your speaking to us on the gifts. And I thank you that, Lord, you give to each and every man severally without any finding fault. You give. And that, Lord, you give the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of all. I pray that each and every one of us will identify the areas of giftings that you have already given us, and that we shall put it to work as you've called us to occupy until you come. You've called us to profit. You've called us to make sure that our work shall be profiting to you, and it shall bring glory and expand the kingdom of God. I pray that you give us the ability, the discipline, and the courage to continue to exercise these gifts for the praise and honor of your holy name. I thank you for my listeners. Indeed, I pray that you may meet every need that we have according to your riches in glory. Until another time, be with us and walk with us and commit this day into your able hands. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Okay, my brother, have a blessed, blessed day. Shalom.